Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue in Psalm 119, verse 43. We read, "And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." You know, we've been looking at here in the Psalm, the last two verses, where the psalmist was praying and calling out. He says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." He was asking God's mercy to come upon him, for him to be able to experience it. He says the result of God's mercy in verse 42 would be, "So shall I have, or I will have everything that I need to answer the ones who come against me, or to answer him that reproaches me." Why? Because I've trusted in thy word. In verse 43, we see the psalmist says, "And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment." A beautiful prayer as he speaks about the word of truth, God's word, and how true it is. As he wanted on his lips, he wanted to be speaking about the word of God. As he mentions here, he says, "For I have hoped in thy judgments." Do you see the plural of judgments there? I think maybe he was thinking about the past judgments of God. Maybe he was thinking about all the plagues that we have recorded for us in the book of Exodus, that Pharaoh experiences. God's heavy hand came upon the nation there in Egypt in order that God might set the children of Israel free. Or else maybe he was thinking of the future judgments that are going to come upon this earth when our Lord and Savior comes back for us, and the tribulation will start at that point, known as the Great Tribulations. We don't know what the hope that he has, but God's judgments are true. God's judgments are just. Not only can we experience them today, but we can experience them in the future. And so if you're looking for help, I would encourage you to turn to the Lord and even pray, say, "Lord, help me that the word of your truth will not leave my mind, they'd be right on my lips no matter what's going on." You know, maybe the psalmist, it certainly seems like he was discouraged. Discouragement is tough. It could come from all kinds of different ways. And maybe the hope of what he was looking for wasn't happening right now. Maybe a new job, a promotion, or maybe a relationship with somebody. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But God's word gives us hope even for today in the midst of any type of discouragement. If that's you, I would encourage you to pray that even as the psalmist prayed, that God's word would utterly be within his mouth, that he would have it on his lips. And for that to happen, though, we need to spend time in God's word. We need to spend time praying and spending time with the Lord. I remember a situation with the disciples, the 12 disciples, back in John chapter 6. It's a very interesting chapter, very long chapter, but I would encourage you to read it all the way over. It has 71 verses. But in there, you see where Jesus had been up in the Galilee area. He's up in the area of Tiberias, and he had just ended up feeding so many people after he got done teaching them. And, you know, they didn't have any food to be able to feed everybody because of the great crowd. Some 5,000 men plus the women and the children had gathered in order to hear Jesus speak. So he ended up feeding them, and they broke bread and, you know, they were able to have a meal. Well, the story goes on in chapter 6. It tells us the next day following, they went across the sea. They went to the other side of the sea, and just to continue on their path, the road. Howbeit, there came on the boat from Tiberias a great amount of people. They came running along the shoreline because they heard that Jesus was on the other side. And what was going on there? And so Jesus tells us in verse 26, and so Jesus answered them, otherwise these people that were seeking him, he says, "Verily, verily, or else truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, because you did not eat of the loaves and were filled. Otherwise, Jesus was really, truly calling them on the carpet. He says, you weren't coming after me for a spiritual reason, but you were looking for your physical needs to be met because you said, well, I had a free lunch yesterday. Maybe I could get a free lunch today. And then he tells us in verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's important for us. Maybe, you know, even as the psalmist was saying, oh Lord, keep your truth there right in my lips. Keep the truth of your mercies, of your love. Keep it right in the forefront of my life. And so here, these group of people, they're asking Jesus, he goes, what do I need to do the works of God? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, if the Lord would tell us to go jump through a bunch of hoops or climb a mountain or whatever he might ask us, we might say to ourselves, he goes, okay, I could do that, Lord, if that's what I need to do the works of God. But listen to the response of Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And so in the eyes of Jesus, it comes down to the matter of the heart. It truly is a spiritual, you know, basis of what he's making these principles here in John chapter 6. And what was so important to the psalmist here is that he was wanting that which was going to satisfy the inner man rather than just fill in our stomach. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, we need to put that as the top priority within our life. He says, and all these things, once we do that, God's going to take care of us. He says, all these things will you know, be added unto you. The things that we need, a physical, you know, if we need a coat, we need rent to be paid, we need a job. But he's saying the first thing that we need to do is put the Lord first within our lives. Is the Lord first in your life? I find it's interesting. As you go through John chapter 6, it gets to be very difficult. And some of the sayings that he's calling these people on and speaking to them about following him, as he says, it in verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit that quicketh. He says, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, really what we should be grabbing onto are the words of Jesus, because those give us life. That gives us hope. That gives us some encouragement. And that's what the psalmist was praying. He says, and take not thy words, the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. May it just stay there, no matter what the circumstances are going on in my life. I find also interesting as you read on in this chapter of John chapter 6, in verse 66. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus, with him. The larger crowd of disciples who were following Jesus, when they started reading the words of Jesus, or in this case, hearing the words, where Jesus was really calling them to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness rather than seeking the momentary pleasures in life, he called on them. Then said Jesus unto his 12, as they were watching some of the disciples leave the area of Galilee following Jesus, he asked his 12, he says, will you also go away? Will you stop following Jesus? Is there anything in your life that would cause you to want to stop to follow Jesus? And I want to leave you with Peter's response. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Our psalmist knew that as he prayed, and take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Where else can we turn, folks? We can't turn to anybody. We need to turn to God and trust him. Take the word of God serious within your life, because God truly wants to bless you. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647.